I'm Bill Littlefield, coming up on Only a Game, an Iron, a Thimble, and a Top Hat in high-stakes competition. But first, the U.S. Food and Drug Administration is investigating cyclist Lance Armstrong, and a federal grand jury has been hearing testimony since August. At issue is whether Armstrong coordinated doping among his teammates from 1999 to 2004 while riding on the U.S. Postal Service team. For years, Armstrong has vehemently denied accusations that he utilized blood doping and performance-enhancing drugs. In their article, The Case Against Lance Armstrong, in the current issue of Sports Illustrated, Selena Roberts and David Epstein examine the accusations against the seven-time Tour de France winner, and they reveal previously unreported details. The reporters join me now from the studios of WSHU in Fairfield, Connecticut. Selena, welcome to Only a Game.
Thank you very much for having us.
And David, welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
Selena, because Armstrong's team was supported by government funding through Postal Service sponsorship, the FDA's investigation could result in charges including conspiracy, wire fraud, money laundering, racketeering, and drug trafficking. How does allegedly cheating in the Tour de France lead to charges normally reserved for mob figures and high-ranking members of the drug trade?
When you look at this situation and your underlying premise, if you're the government, what you're trying to find out is, was the miracle of Lance, was the great things he did in the Tour de France, the victories, was that true? Was it real or was it based on a fraud? And the fraud in this case would be the doping angle. If you think of the doping as sort of the maypole in this situation where all the other charges wrap around it, if you discover that he doped, then I think the government wants to understand, did he traffic the drugs that he was taking? Did he pressure other people on his team because he was considered the boss into taking them? Did he travel across borders with drugs? And if he won these Tour de France titles based on this fraud, then the government would like to ask the question, the $50 million or close to that that Postal put into that team, was that all based on a fraud? And so I think that if you start from the doping, you see that so many other issues trickle down from that.
David, one of the revelations in the article concerns details about tests that anti-doping specialist Dr. Donald Catlin did on Armstrong on behalf of the U.S. Olympic Committee in the mid-1990s. Tell us what you discovered along that line.
Well, so Lance was a multiple-time Olympian in the 90s and was subject to the same testing as other Olympians, and part of that testing is what's called a TE ratio test, which is the testosterone to epitestosterone ratio in the body. Testosterone, we all know, is the kind of masculinizing hormone, and epitestosterone is just another hormone that doesn't really do much but comes in about a one-to-one ratio in most people in the body. So if you see a higher ratio, you can sometimes start to figure out whether somebody is artificially supplementing their testosterone. USA Cycling made a request for testing data for a specific athlete. We were told that was Lance Armstrong, even though originally he was only identified by his testing number. And we saw what were both fluctuating and abnormally high levels of testosterone to epitestosterone. For one reason or another, two of those high tests weren't able to be confirmed. Dr. Catlin couldn't really explain why that was. He said it's a once-in-a-blue-moon occurrence that would happen. And when I told him I was looking at three cases for the same athlete, he said that's very, very strange. And one of the cases, it didn't seem that any confirmation was even attempted.
A spokesman for Lance Armstrong called your article, and I'm quoting now, old news from the same old discredited sources. Regarding these tests that are more than a decade old, how do you respond to that?
You know, the people that we talk to have sworn under oath to what they discussed with us. They've talked to investigators where, again, they would be under oath. And when you look and say, well, why would they talk? A lot of them just want the truth out. So just because they say they're discredited doesn't mean there's any proof at all that their credibility is in question.
While individual champions get the credit, winning cycling events requires a team effort. You interviewed Steven Swart, who rode with Lance Armstrong in the 1990s. What did he say about Armstrong's alleged role in introducing doping to his team?
Well, this was back on the Motorola team in the mid-90s, and what Steven said was that the team wasn't doing as well as they wanted to, basically, and they knew that a lot of the European teams were doping, and that they were on a training ride after a performance that they considered subpar, and Lance who was an influential member of the team, brought it up to him and another rider they were with, and suggested that people, you know, get on a medical program involving EPO. And in Steven Swart's recollection, it was Lance was what he called the instigator of that team starting EPO, and Steven Swart himself, who admitted to using EPO after that.
Lance Armstrong is a 7-time Tour de France winner. He's a cancer survivor who's raised millions and millions of dollars to fight that disease. He has, of course, attained a celebrity status beyond that of any other athlete in his sport. How do his fame and good works factor into this investigation going forward? What do you think?
Well, you know, in our society, heroes are people too. And, you know, we scrutinize heroes in every walk of life, whether they're ministers or whether they're heroes in politics. But the scrutiny on everybody, I think, should be equal. And I would say that, you know, Lance himself, it doesn't mean that you can do great work and by doing great works, it inoculates you from scrutiny. I think in so many ways, those who do great work should welcome the transparency and should welcome the scrutiny because there's so much on the line. So many people trust them.
And it also doesn't negate the things that he's done, whatever happens. It doesn't take back the inspiration he's given people or the money he's raised and things like that. But we've gotten the question quite a bit, even if it turns out that it's proven that he was doping, wasn't it all worth it? And I think that's a question. It depends if you're looking at it in retrospect or if you think about it being on the front end with an athlete asking you, should I, you know, take these drugs or do something bad because down the line it might pay off. So it's a tough philosophical question.
The federal prosecutor leading this investigation is Jeff Nowitzki, who is also heading up the perjury case against Major League Baseball's Barry Bonds. He oversaw the prosecution that led to the conviction of Marion Jones, the track star, as well. Do you have any sense of whether Nowitzki has given Armstrong's case priority over any of his other work at this point?
Jeff probably is somebody where, you know, he's focused on the moment. And I would guess that given the way he's handled cases in the past, he's very focused on this right now. But I think we all know that looming ahead is the Barry Bonds trial that is supposed to come up in March, I believe. So I think that his focus is where it probably has to be in the moment, but I would guess that at some point, he's going to start focusing on the Barry Bonds trial.
Lance Armstrong came out of retirement to return to cycling back in 2009. Where does his career stand now?
Well, this is his last professional year. I mean, he's in the Tour Down Under right now, saying goodbye to that run. I think that, you know, when he came back in 2009, he said he was coming back to raise awareness for cancer advocacy and the projects that he wanted. So I think he's more in the mode of you know, riding hard and riding well through this sunset period.
Selena Roberts and David Epstein's article, The Case Against Lance Armstrong, appears in the January 24th issue of Sports Illustrated. David, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks for having me.
And Selena, thank you to you as well.
Appreciate it. Thank you.